What Floats Your Bubble? A podcast dedicated to aeration and industrial blower technologies from Atlas Copco USA.
So, familiar jingle, welcome to the second in the What Floats Your Bubble podcast. Today, we're going to focus on oil. We're going to look at some things, the different technologies around oil. We're going to look at integrity. We're going to look at temperature. And to do that, as always, we've gathered our elite panel. So, Gatlin, Paul, Eric, and Leanne are just about ready, and we're going to dive into the What Floats Your Bubble podcast. So let's get cracking. Today, a subject I'm looking forward to learning a lot more about. So when it comes to oil, any piece of rotating equipment, everything with motors, oil is the absolute unsung often hero of that technology. So today we're going to look at it, we're going to focus on oil, we're going to look at integrity versus temperature, a couple of the different options that are available on the blowers sold by Atlas Copco. Key point to make, in these podcasts, we're not going to say one technology is better than the other. We're going to talk about the benefits and some of the disadvantages of both. It's something where we offer multiple choices on two, and ultimately it's an application-based decision. So let's get going. I got some questions here. Again, I'm looking forward to learning a lot. So Paul Peterson, we come to you first. So the first question that we got here when we was mapping this out is, what purpose does oil serve in a blower? And we should also just preface that often all of our blowers are oil-free technology, but just explain exactly what that means. I think there's sometimes some confusion.
Yeah, correct. I think sometimes you're right. There's confusion between oil-free and oil-less. So oil-free is actually ISO class zero, meaning that there's no oil in the airstream. So when the air comes out, it is free of any oil contaminants. However, there is oil inside the blower itself, and that oil is used to lubricate the bearings and gears on almost every technology, or in some cases, we don't have gears. But in general, if you have a contact bearing, that's what it's used for, and the idea is to keep the oil as clean and cool as possible to give it the longest life. And when it gets to the end of its life, you've got to replace it.
Absolutely. And then when we talk about the end of life, I mean, is there different options there? So Gatlin, if you don't mind, I kind of ask this one to you. So are all oils kind of created equally? I mean, is there oil that lasts longer than others, or is it really kind of, you know, this pretty much the same for all?
Yeah, Paul, that's a great question. I mean, they make all sorts of different oils for all different sorts of things. You know, you've got extremely harsh environments that some items are put in that would require a very thick, very long lasting oil. And then other applications that require a much thinner oil to do more than just lubricate parts and kind of act as a hydraulic actuators and things like that. So they make oils for all sorts of different applications. Every oil is not created equal, but it is very important to have an oil that is great for your specific purpose. Some last longer, some last shorter, but like I said, it basically depends on the application that you want to use it in to make it fit.
And then Leanne, if I ask you, you know, if we're all used to sort of oil changes in a car, for example, where the frequency has, you know, maybe got a little bit more over the last, you know, decade or what have you. But when it comes to oil changes in blowers, what would a typical kind of schedule look like for an aeration blower when it comes to an oil change?
You know, Paul, that's a great question. It really depends on the technology and the equipment design. If you have everything set for the right application, it can go as many as 16,000 hours in like the screw type blower where you have a enclosed system and it's force lubricated. Or if it's something that's splash lubricated, it really can depend because there's more risk, I guess, in the oil breaking down and degrading faster.
Yeah, and that word risk that you talked about, so just when we're preparing here, Gatlin, just to come to you again quickly, you were telling us, what happens when oil kind of degrades a little bit? How would you describe that in simple terms? I mean, what are the dangers and what actually happens?
Yeah, so, I mean, there's several different things that can happen when your oil gets dirty or older, you know. Normal organic oil does degrade over time. With use, synthetic oils are much less prone to that. The temperature of the oil has to do with how it degrades. You know, the dirtiness of the oil can affect the quality of how well it lubricates your gears and bearings. But one thing I was reading that was pretty interesting is that, you know, oil is basically made up of these small particles, and I think I heard that they were zinc, but zinc sounds a little too common, so let's just go with some unknown particle. And basically what those particles do is they form a cushion or a buffer between metal against metal contact, and as oil degrades over time, even if it's perfectly clean and even if it keeps a perfect temperature, these particles just keep getting mashed and mashed and mashed. And, you know, eventually the oil runs out of those particles, and that's when you get the metal-to-metal contact, which causes excess heat, friction, and can ultimately lead to destruction of gears and bearings.
Yeah, so, I mean, again, a little bit like a car, if I just ask you again, Paul, that, you know, basically, if you don't get this right, I mean, the worst case scenario, I mean, is a catastrophic failure. And I mean, ultimately, the ruining of equipment. So that'd be question one. You know, it's so important to get it right. Question two, outside of just running hours, are there other ways that somebody can proactively look at the quality of their oil and maybe test it a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, most blowers come with an oil sight glass, which allows you a visual inspection of the quality of your oil. Typically, when lubricant goes in, it has a certain color. Sometimes it's orange, sometimes it's more exotic, like purple. But in general, as oil degrades, the color and appearance will change over time. And those sight glasses are a great, simple visual indication of where your oil is at in its lifetime. On some equipment, we also have oil pressure and oil temperature sensors that, again, if you're seeing over time the temperature level rise in your oil, that probably means it's starting to degrade, like Gatlin said. If it's starting to get smashed, it's losing viscosity, you're getting more of that friction, and you'll see an increase in temperature. That's a good pre-indicator to the fact that it's time to change your oil.
Okay, no, very good simple way there to check. And then talking about using oil within these aeration blowers, there's a couple of different ways that we use oil. So we've all heard of splash lubrication and force lubrication. So let's just explore sort of briefly what those differences are. So Eric, I know that you've got some good knowledge here in this area. So if we start the other way around with a force lube, so tell us what force lube is and perhaps some of the advantages, maybe some of the disadvantages.
So with the force lubrication system, you use an oil pump to distribute the oil in the key areas of the element. What this does is it allows the oil pump to precisely distribute the oil. And with the oil filter, you can improve the life of the oil. And also with the cooling system, it improves the life of the oil. And the oil filter helps remove some of the contaminants that could be in the oil as well.
So there's force lube. So Leanne, if you don't mind, I'll ask you, tell us a little bit more about splash lubrication.
Sure. Splash lubrication is probably what people are most familiar with in terms of it's been around probably the longest. There's some type of oil slinger that just dips down, picks up some oil, and just like it sounds, flings it at the area where you need it, which, you know, is fairly effective, but it does come with risk in that if you're not maintaining your oil and checking the levels and making sure that it hasn't degraded, then when that slinger dips down, there's a risk that it's not going to get anything. And the chance of increased wear, rust, corrosion, whatever, could begin if it's not available, because it's not constant. It's just, it's timed based on whatever the rotating interval is from the slinger.
Okay, well, that makes sense. Simple sense. And then if we said to you then, Paul, if I sort of, I mean, from my point of view, from a non-technical side, it almost sounds like this force lubrication model is always much better. Is that the case, Paul?
Well, I wouldn't say it's always much better. Again, we go back to talking about application. So, for instance, we use force lubrication in our screw blowers. And the reason for that is, as Eric mentioned, it's a meter delivered amount of oil to all of the bearings and gears inside the blower. There's a gearbox in our screw blowers that actually doubles as the oil sump. And what happens in a screw blower is you have internal compression. So the benefit of that added compression is increased efficiency. The drawback is heat of compression. So because there's higher heat, we actually have an oil cooler to make sure that oil maintains a lower temperature than something like a load blower that we have that has splash lubrication. It has external compression, so it doesn't have as much internal heat of compression. So it's able to operate at generally lower temperatures without that cooling. Now, with that said, because of what Leanne said, the risk that oil level may not be maintained properly with a splash lube system, the oil change intervals are much shorter. So going back to what we discussed earlier, in the screw blower with that force lube where it's cooled and filtered, you've got about a 16,000 hour oil life. In a load blower where it's splash lubricated, it's on average 4,000 hours. Now, if you have a low temperature application where it's lower pressure, then you're going to have maybe 6,000 hour life. If you're in a very hot environment, say outdoors in the desert, or you're operating near the upper pressure limit of a low blower, your oil life could be as low as maybe 1,000 hours in certain high heat applications.
So, Gatlin, we're talking about the screw blower, and we were looking at the force lube sort of model. So just explain to us, you know, we're all familiar with the dials on a car and how we can understand, you know, we get a warning if the oil temperature is a bit high or if the oil level is low. How does that kind of work when it comes to an aeration blower?
Surprisingly, Paul, it's pretty close to the same. I mean, you've got, you know, your oil level that you're looking at. You've got... if it's forced lubrication, then you've got oil pressure that you're looking at, just like in a car. So you can have instruments that, you know, tell you what these are. You can look over time and see what's good and what's not good. You can have a control system that calls these out, sends an alarm, or even shuts the unit down if things get out of control, you know, which is comfortable to know that you're at least not going to destroy anything if you have an oil leak. But you know, there's also even more advanced features like remote monitoring over computers or apps, and like they say with everything, there's an app for that.
Yeah. Dare I say, Leanne, if I could ask you, you know, that when we look at the development of this portfolio over the last decade, and I'm talking about the industry, aeration, industrial blowers in general, you're someone that's been in the industry quite a while now. I'm sure you won't mind me telling our audience that. But is this connectivity and this understanding of your blower, you know, based on the controllers, the remote monitoring side? I mean, is that for you one of the biggest advancements over the last decade when it comes to the technology? Is really the connectivity and the blower really talks to you these days?
You know, I think that most equipment at a plant, it connects to the SCADA system, and that gave them some visibility. But the idea of remote monitoring, somebody else saying, hey, by the way, we noticed that the equipment, it was time for your maintenance, and, you know, we're dispatching a technician to be there on this day, that whole level of proactivity is what is starting to change. With that comes the ability to monitor on your phone or get a text directly from the equipment. It's not something that I think has been utilized very much, but the plants that have gone that direction and are integrating that capability, I think are seeing some of the benefits that are really coming from this.
Absolutely. A couple of other elements just to focus on before we close. Let's go to you, Paul, if we could, and let's look at, say, an oil filter. So we talked about oil degrading, and you know, a lot of that is the importance of keeping contaminants out. So how important is the oil filter, I mean, when it comes to making sure that you keep your oil integrity and your blower working in the best condition?
Well, I'd say it's extremely important. You know, the two biggest enemies of oil are heat and contamination, and the oil filter is critical in a force lubricated system for keeping the oil clean and those contaminants out. But it's important to note that not all oil filters are created equally, just the same as oils. You know, the industry standard, I believe, is a 30 micron filter. And for example, in our screw blower, we use a 10 micron. And that's why it's really important when you're doing preventative maintenance that you're always using OEM parts from the manufacturer, because just because a filter fits on the fitting doesn't mean that it delivers the same quality of filtration as the one from the manufacturer. So just like using the right recommended oil, you should always ensure you're using the right recommended filter from the manufacturer as well.
Okay, very good. And then one last question here that I had before we sort of get to the summary. So when it comes to, you know, you're looking at the technologies out there, you're looking for a new product. And I mean, of course, we would tend to go to the internet, I guess, first maybe. And what I see just from my research was that you will see all sorts of claims, you know, this one is an oil change every 4,000 hours. This one is every 6,000. We even see some with oil changes of 10,000 and above. So, Eric, if you don't mind, I'll ask you first, then Gatlin, I'll come to you. So what does that actually mean? I mean, there's no such thing as a scheduled oil change frequency. It really depends on the application and where you are and which type of blower you've got. So as a buyer looking at those claims, you've got to be really careful and make sure that you actually understand what it means. Is that fair, Eric?
I agree. You definitely need to understand what it means, and you definitely need to look at the manufacturer's recommended oil changes, but also some of the key indicators that an oil change is required based on the temperature that you're running the application on and the amount of runtime hours on a particular element. Those are very all good key things.
And then Gatlin, just also drawing on your sort of experience and the many facilities that you've been in, I mean, there are instances where, you know, what would be some of the differences between, say, let's say a load blower that was a 6,000 hour oil change or a 10,000 hour oil change? What would drive the difference?
The main difference in that would be similar to what Paul Peterson was saying earlier, but that temperature of the discharge, the temperature of the oil, the pressure that the unit's running at. So, I mean, it's very, very likely that you could have two of the exact same blowers running together in different applications, and one require an oil change a lot more frequently than the other.
And we've used that word a lot. And Paul, if I could, I give the summary here to you. We've used the word a lot, you know, that it depends on application. And as we mentioned right at the start, this is not about technology A or technology B. This is just about helping people understand what some of the differences are and what to look for. So, again, just summarizing in your own words, let's say, how the application really affects, you know, the making sure that you've got the right oil, how often the changes should be, et cetera.
That's correct. You know, as I mentioned before, low blowers typically splash lubricated, and it's roughly every 6 months or 4,000 hours. But again, as we've mentioned repeatedly, it's based on temperature. Now, when you've got force filtered cooled oil, could be up to 10,000, 16,000 hours. Again, it's in the application. One of the things we haven't touched on even is the fact that some bearings in this industry and aeration blowers are actually grease packed lubricated. And those you have to very closely monitor. They don't have a sophisticated of systems and sensors available. Those are typically 6 months or less. Sometimes they're greased for lice. And that lifetime could be anywhere from 8,000 hours to 24 to 40. But you've really got to pay close attention to the temperature of the application and the manufacturer's recommendations, because even if it's the same type of blower, it could have a different lubricant depending on the manufacturer, and they could have drastically different oil lives or lubricant lives.
I think that was a great summary and a great place to leave it. So Gatlin, Paul, Eric, Leanne, thank you so much for guiding us through it. Coming up next month, we've got our next episode of the podcast where we're going to be focusing on a new technology, a new idea. Really looking forward to that. So thanks everyone for listening. Looking forward to doing the next one.